A reading from Acts chapter 20. The Apostle Paul said, "For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things I have shown you by working hard. In this way we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And there was much weeping on the part of all. They embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful most of all because of the word he had spoken, that they would not see his face again. And they accompanied him to the ship. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Goodbye. Those are hard words, hard word to speak, isn't it? It's hard to say goodbye to someone when you really don't want to let go. I was thinking back about my life over the whole lifetime and recognizing that there have been many times where I've been called upon to be good at that life skill of knowing how to say goodbye. So I've had lots of practice. I grew up in a family of 5 kids. I was the youngest, still am, I guess, as far as that goes. But one by one, I saw my sister, and then my brother, and my sister, and then my brother start peeling off as they went away to college and then finally moved out from the house. Those were kind of painful moments as the youngest one, watching my siblings kind of move on. My dad was a pastor. And during my lifetime, served during 3 congregations while I was living at home. And I remember 2 of those, especially the pain of having to say goodbye to a congregation as my dad took a call to serve another. I remember the 3rd of those 3, my parents were leaving. The moving truck was showing up on the very day that I was heading off to go to the seminary. So there were all kinds of goodbyes happening on that day. Throughout my ministry, I had served in 3 congregations. So I had more of my share of goodbyes. And every one of those came with a lot of tears. And that was never a welcome thing to have to cry that much, especially when you're trying not to. But still, we say goodbye. And then during the last 5 years, my daughters have started peeling off one after another. A week from this Saturday, my youngest will be leaving really for the last time from living at home. At least that's the plan anyway. So goodbyes are part of our life. And whether it's simply saying goodbye to one of our coworkers at the end of a day with an expectation that in God's grace we'll see each other the next day, or whether that is a final farewell, those are tough. And that's especially the case if death is involved. Being good at saying goodbye is an important life skill, not just for the people of the world, but knowing how to say goodbye as God's people is essential for us that we might point each other to Jesus. So we take a look at Acts chapter 20. Paul was saying goodbye to the elders, the pastors from Ephesus. For 10 years or so, Paul had been traveling on his missionary journeys, traveling all over the northern Mediterranean area for the most part. And now he had been making a collection for the saints back in Jerusalem because they were being persecuted and there was famine going on, a double whammy that was making life difficult for them. So through the generosity of God's people all over the places where Paul had planted churches, he had amassed a collection that he was going to take back and use for that mercy care back in Jerusalem. But as Paul was getting ready to go back there, as he's making his farewell tour from town to town where he had been working, Paul made it clear that the Holy Spirit was sharing with him that what faced him in the future, as Paul went to every town, the same message was there, that bonds and afflictions awaited him. Chains and afflictions were awaiting him as he headed back to Jerusalem. And certainly if we read through the rest of the book of Acts, we see that story. Paul wasn't going to be able to return to all these people with whom he had shared the gospel, the message of Jesus, the Son of God, incarnate in the flesh, crucified on the cross, risen from the dead, the one who had returned for us and for our salvation, the one who gives us peace and an inheritance, the one who had bought us by his blood that we might be his sheep. Paul wasn't going to be able to share any of that message ever again directly with these folks. And so he wanted to make sure that he was saying goodbye to them in the proper way. He was a man on a mission, if you will, as he carried out this work of saying goodbye. Earlier in chapter 20, one of my favorite stories, because I think there's a little bit of humor that sort of is involved with it. Paul was in Troas, and he's preaching long in the night. He's second floor, a gathering of God's people. The oxygen is low because the lamps are burning, and Eutychus falls asleep. I've never seen anybody fall asleep during a sermon before. Eutychus falls out the window. Now that's embarrassing. How do you cover that up? Paul runs downstairs, raises him from the dead. They go back upstairs. They have communion, and Paul keeps on preaching until daybreak. Kind of indicates the heart of Paul that he wanted to point people to the Word of God. And now finally in our text for this morning, Paul was in Miletus. He asked for the elders, the pastors, to come from Ephesus to meet him there. Paul couldn't go back to Ephesus because the last time he was there, there was a riot and Paul was almost killed. But as Paul was meeting with these elders, these pastors from Ephesus, what could he say to them? He warned them. He warned them that after his departure, there would be the wolves that would come in and try to damage the sheep there in Ephesus. And some of that would come from the outside, but Paul also indicated that some of that would come from the inside. As God's people would be pulled away from the truth and would be led astray by distortions. And distortions of God's word really always have one or two purposes, and they're really joined. One is to point people's attention away from Jesus. And two, to point then the attention to what I can do to make my life better or even to earn eternal life. Paul knew that there would be that distortion of doctrine or of teaching. And knowing that he was facing this separation from these men of God, these pastors from Ephesus, and knowing that Satan was going to attack them and was going to attack the sheep there in Ephesus, Paul did the only good thing that any of us could ever do as we're saying goodbye to someone. And that was to commend them to the Word of God. In the verse 32 from our text, from Acts 20, Paul said, "And now I commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are being made holy." I'm going to think about those words for a second. Paul was giving them a parting gift. In this world, we will always face the opposition of the evil one who tries to snatch away that gift of faith that God has given. And yes, sometimes that opposition and that distortion comes from the outside, but sometimes we're the ones who bring it on ourselves. And yet, whether Paul was together with these pastors or whether he was separated from them, Paul wanted to that they would hold on to the very word of God, which would keep them in the true faith to life everlasting. For giving someone God's word is actually giving them Jesus. If I share God's word with someone, if I share God's word with you, I'm giving you Jesus. And all that Jesus came to bring to us through his life and death and resurrection. And Paul says in our text that that word of God is able to do three things. First, it is able to build us up. The word means to actually like build a house or a structure. And that structure is that faith, that gift of life that God has given us, the Spirit through our baptisms, as through the word of God, he continues to build up that faith. And when the hurricanes of life come and the shutters get ripped off in our life, that word of God replaces that building and builds us up once again. Secondly, Paul says that the word of God is able to give us inheritance. In the foundation, we work a lot with people dealing with inheritance, helping people to plan it out. But God, in his word, has given us inheritance. We are heirs of the kingdom of God. And we are heirs of what heaven will be for us when we live in that glory. It's ours. We don't have to earn it. We don't have to plan it. God has given it to us through his word. So every time we are exposed to God's word, that inheritance comes back into our lives. And then finally, that word of God is able to make us holy. You see, every day we're constantly confronted with the temptation of the evil one, the challenge of our own flesh, where we stumble and fall and things go off the rails in our life. And yet God's word speaks us holy every day. I can't make myself that way, but Jesus already did. And so as Paul was looking to say goodbye to these elders in Ephesus, he reminded them of those three things. I commend you to that word of God that is able to build you up, to give you an inheritance, and to make you holy. So when we turn to one another to say goodbye in our lives, what more fitting, better way would there be for us to say goodbye rather than just saying, see ya? But rather to commend one another to the word of God and remind each other that in that word, God builds us up, gives us inheritance, and makes us holy. And saying those goodbyes is still not easy. As Paul and those elders, they prayed and then they wept loudly together. So in the middle of our tears, we have shared in those goodbyes, we have shared God's word and reminded each other of that inheritance when one day Christ himself will wipe every tear from our eyes. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, may guard and keep our hearts and our minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.